CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Vijay Vaitheeswaran, the energy and green innovation editor for The Economist magazine, to comment here weeks before COP26, where the leadership in Europe especially, but worldwide, is lining up for the climate change challenge. Vijay, a very good day to you from the Brussels edition of Bloomberg. EU leaders struggle to bridge their differences on the two biggest orders of business, energy and Poland. I go especially to energy. We're at this point observing Poland, Hungary, and the Czech Republic calling for revisions to the ambitious climate plans, especially emissions trading, cited during the energy crisis. The overall story is that all of Western Europe and Eastern Europe are now challenged with winter on the way and either insufficient supplies or insufficient certainty of supplies for natural gas and other needs this winter. This crisis, was it predictable? Is it upon us to solve, or is it upon us to say there's nothing we can do? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Great to be with you again. So this is the first great energy shock of the climate change energy transition. I think it's the right frame to look at this. And Europe is the cauldron of climate action. They have the most enthusiastic and aggressive policies to decarbonize their economies, to expand renewable energy dramatically, to phase out fossil fuels, coal, natural gas even, are very much out of favor in Europe. And of course, oil, it goes without saying. And so it is a test case for how the energy transition policies are going to work out. And what we're finding is that there are some flaws, some kinks in the approach that Europe has taken. That doesn't mean it's not worth taking on climate change with ambition. We should learn lessons from what's gone wrong in Europe.
I go to the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, who's much in the news, commenting about the problems of the Union. However, about energy, within these last days, the European Commission's president told member states that they are, quote, too reliant on gas amid an ongoing energy crisis. A speedy transition to clean energy, said the president, would also make the bloc a more independent global player. Implicit in this, of course, is pointing to the natural gas supplies from Russia, which are on again, off again, depending on the rhetoric and Nord Stream 2. The European Commission now is looking for solutions, or is it just echoing what all the members are saying, we don't have enough for winter?
There is a real problem right now, and that is if it's a particularly bad winter in Europe, and it might be given the La Nina weather phenomena that experts watch, we are concerned because of that weather, periodic weather phenomena, that Northern Europe, Northern Asia, as well as North America, may have an unusually cold winter this year. And if that happens, that is simultaneously bitter winters, we're likely to see global competition for things like liquefied natural gas, an important resource that Europe relies on. And Europe doesn't have enough natural gas in its storage. It's below the five-year record, meaning it's at a historic lows. And that means they could run out of gas unless they take some extreme measures. That's the reason this is a political problem. Obviously, nobody wants Granny to freeze. And so that suddenly sharpens the minds of politicians. And if you don't want Granny's house to run out of natural gas to heat, then you need to shut down the steel plant down the road or put it on some kind of go slow. In other words, industrial use of natural gas needs to be curbed, which nobody likes either. And so Europe faces a set of unpalatable choices in the short term. And that's why this is a crisis meeting.
The price of natural gas is the driver for grave concern in the United Kingdom. Sometimes it's given to me that it's increased 600%. Whatever the number is, it's much higher than it's easily affordable. Different states are talking about subsidies. I believe France is talking about a subsidy. That looks to be a patch, but is that the future, Vijay, in your understanding, in this transition period from fossil fuels, that the price will require subsidizing? I guess they'll means test who is to get help and who is not to get help.
So, John, I think that's the wrong way to go, in my opinion. I mean, look, some sort of lifeline tariffs for the very elderly and very indigent makes sense. During a cold winter, you don't want anyone to turn off the heat because they can't afford the bills. Any compassionate person would agree with that. However, if you look at how do you solve the problem, that's not going to solve the problem. It's not going to generate any more supply, right? So you have to look at it systemically. The real reason that Europe has gotten itself into this pickle is because of a series of policies that both accelerated renewables, which are low carbon, that's why they're doing it, but which we know renewables are intermittent and they're not always reliable. So hydro, for example, in Northern Europe, suffered from an extended drought. We had a lack of wind, unusually low wind across Europe that made renewables from wind also go down. And wind and other renewables require some sort of backup power, baseload power. Well, that could be provided by nuclear, but guess what? Europe is very hostile. Germany shut down its nuclear plants over time. What about, well, baseload power from gas? Well, they're very anti-gas also, even though gas is has a lower carbon footprint than coal, much lower. Europe has moved very strongly against natural gas, and it's very hard to get financing for natural gas projects in Europe. And so they become much more reliant on a handful of suppliers as well. And one of them is, of course, it always has been Russia and Gazprom, but they're reliant on what's known as the LNG or tradable market when natural gas arrives in ships. And that has been hogged up by China and Asia as they're dealing with their own power problems this year. So Europe is pointing the finger at Russia for giving it a squeeze on piped gas and China for buying up all the LNG or bidding up the price for it. My answer to them is, hey, a lot of these problems are of your own making. Europe made itself vulnerable, and other actors like Putin and Xi acted in their own national self-interest, as they would and should. Europe should have thought a little more carefully about its energy market design.
Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Three Mile Island, Chernobyl, Fukushima. Obviously, nuclear is both a curse and a benefit if and when. Is Europe ready to move to discuss nuclear energy for green innovation?
I think some parts of Europe already are. Interestingly, you have a stronger support for nuclear power in Eastern Europe, for example, in part because for them, relying on the most viable alternative, which is gas, especially the landlocked countries in Eastern Europe, which would probably get that gas from Russia, means you're reliant on the Russian bear, meaning you're vulnerable to geopolitical pressure, if not manipulation, or even in an extreme situation, as with Ukraine, cutoffs from Russia. And so you see a lot more support for nuclear as an alternative in those parts of Europe. You still see very anti-nuclear sentiment in Germany, which led this, and in parts of Northern Europe. UK is somewhere in the middle. The government's actually thinking seriously about reintroducing nuclear to deal with climate change. So I think the picture is changing. France has been very pro-nuclear for a very long time, of course. A big part of its power comes from nuclear, but they're not emphasizing future nuclear power plants. And I think part of the reason is when you look at new generation, nuclear is very expensive. It's a very expensive way to make electricity, or the joke in the industry, it's a very expensive way to boil water, because that's what you use nuclear energy to do, to create the steam, to create electricity. And new renewables are a lot cheaper, and so can new natural gas plants if they're done with the latest equipment for emissions mitigation of methane and natural gas emissions. They could be much more viable than new nuclear. That's the state of play in Europe.
And Vijay, with 30 seconds, is nuclear to be discussed gravely at COP26? Is that on the menu?
It's like the skunk at the garden party. Nobody wants to acknowledge it, but it's there. And I would argue, if you're going to be grown up about dealing with the massive decarbonization job ahead, new nuclear has to be on the table.
Vijay Vajaswaran, the Energy and Green Innovation Editor at The Economist magazine. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.